Welcome to the Peaceful Power Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Clausen, and today I have Maitrey Eon with us. She is an award-winning author, psychologist, and spiritual teacher who has developed a worldwide following, bringing forth the deep wisdom that manifests to her both through her inner guru, Baba, and her teacher. So I am very excited to chat with you today. Maitrey has a new book out, and that's what we're going to kind of dive into. And I will just kind of briefly share a little bit about the book or what I have. It's called Into the Heart of the Infinite, a spiritual memoir of an extraordinary mystical journey. So I would love to get a little, inside information of how did this book come to be?
Oh, this book is actually something I was internally guided to do like 20 years ago, and I never actually did it. And then finally, the inspiration came to, it was time to do it. And so I wrote this journey of this inner guidance and mystical experiences so that other people could sort of, through my experience, maybe resonate their own about their own experience and their own mystical journey and be supported in that journey.
Mm. So we were talking a little before, you know, how you ran yoga teacher trainings. So when did you first start practicing yoga yourself?
It was in 1969. Wow. It was a long time ago.
Wow. So before yoga was mainstream.
Yeah. Well, it was in the 70s, yoga in the U.S. was more a whole practice, the eight limbs of Ashtanga yoga, and the teachers who came over were spiritual teachers. And so when I got introduced into yoga, it wasn't a physical practice, although there was the asanas or yoga postures were part of the practice, but just one limb.
Where do you think it went kind of divided, I guess, you know, since you've been practicing since 1969, when did that divide, I guess, happen in your eyes?
I think in the 80s, in the 80s it started when a couple of teachers, Desika Chahar and a few others came over, and I think they felt that they couldn't really sell the whole deal, you know, the whole practice, because yoga means to yoke, to unite the little with the great. It's the union with the divine is what yoga means. It's not just a physical practice. The asanas or yoga postures are just a limb of the eight limbs of Ashtanga yoga. Yoga is about body, mind, spirit integration, and that is one of the limbs. And so when these guys came over, they didn't, I think they felt that they could not popularize the whole practice of yoga. And so they realized that the asanas, the physical practice, was very accepted in the culture. And so they went with that. And that they went far in popularizing yoga as a physical practice.
Well, how do you kind of practice yoga, I suppose, today in your own life, you know, bringing in that spiritual component and bringing, I don't know if you do asana as well, but how does that look like in your day-to-day life?
Well, it looks like meditation practice and asanas and a little bit of pranayama, you know, so that kind of, and I've gone deeply into connection with the divine too, and nurturing that connection. And that has come out of my yoga practice, out of my meditation practice. Also, my prior book is on Yama Niyama, Living Love, the Yoga of Yama Niyama. And I really put a lot of energy into the yamas and the niyamas also. I think they're really not only foundational, but they're how yoga, they're the ethical principles of yoga, but they really are how to bring your yoga into the world and live in the world with yoga. Mm. And so that's a big part of my practice too. It's just trying to manifest that as best I can.
How did you kind of begin your own maybe mystical relationship with a higher power? You know, I think that could be maybe people who are listening might be like, yeah, I'm ready for that next edge, but where do I begin? Or does it just come to you one day? Or how did that kind of unfold in your own life?
Well, I began doing meditation twice. I took Diksha, or initiation into a yogic tradition, from an orange-robed Swami, and then I began to meditate twice a day, which was the instruction. And during my meditation, actually, I started meditation, and then I started having unusual experiences, hearing sounds far away, and different sort of body, feeling my body large or small or faced in a different direction. It all kind of scared me, so I stopped meditating for 6 months. And then we got a new house and a beautiful meditation room we set up, and I began meditating again twice a day. And about 4 or 5 months later, one day I came out of meditation and I realized that this presence had been coming in every meditation and talking to me, and that I was frightened by it when I realized it. And I realized not only had that happened in that meditation, but suddenly I remembered that that had been happening for months in my meditation, and I would forget it because I would have been frightened. But by the time I was guided to remember it, I realized that I was madly in love with this divine presence, is kind of like a Christ presence, you know, a holy presence. And and it gave me a name, which was Baba. And then I began to have a lot of internal experience, mystical experience with this divine guide, and seeing all of the divine qualities. Like a word would come and it would be perfect justice, and another word would be absolute beauty, another word, you know, divine love. And so it would sort of like the facets of a jewel. There was a period of going through these divine qualities and experiencing them, and then a lot of other experiences happened, mystical experiences, and finally, my divine guide guided me to go to India and to be with him in a physical form, which was my physical guru, Sri Sri Anandamurti. And so my husband and I bought one-way tickets to India and went to see our guru. So, and I was there for 8 or 9 months and then came back in a long period of meditation and learning to work with my own issues, because yoga really is this uniting. It is learning to move into the heart of the infinite, learning to the asanas, the yoga postures, balance your body. The pranayama brings the mind and body into balance and harmony. And also it happens naturally in meditation after a while. It doesn't just have to be an artificial practice. And the yamas and the niyamas, the ethical principles, allow you to refine your psychological body so that your mind becomes more balanced and more able to be in alignment with divine energy. And then that all allows you to move into meditation, into focusing the mind in concentration, and moving into a meditative flow from dharana to dhyan, and finally into samadhi, into states of rapture, states where you feel unity with the divine. And so this is really what yoga is. It's a really full tradition. It's a philosophical tradition that underlies Hinduism and Buddhism.
How do you think people, you know, might just have, you know, your 9 to 5 and they're jumping into yoga classes on the weekends and they're trying to have that connection or that divine consciousness and something beyond maybe just themselves. What are ways for them maybe to tap into this? It's might, you know, they might not be able to go to India for months, but they want to have that connection. Is there anything that you've maybe noticed in your practices, you know, through the years of like, here's a way that you can get there, not necessarily a shortcut, because a lot of it is consistency and, you know, action, but anything that you have for someone who might not have that capacity for a huge long morning meditation of like even an hour, if they maybe have just 30 minutes in the morning, what could they be doing?
30 minutes is great. 30 minutes of meditation in the morning. And if you can, 30 minutes sometime, maybe before dinner or sometime evening. And that meditation, just that, even that shorter times of meditation, if you do that regularly, it helps to sink your mind into a different state, a different relationship, where you have you're literally training your mind to move from a beta state of activity in the world into alpha, which is relaxation, into theta, which is a deeper state that's often just in sleep, and even in samadhi into delta, which is deep. Your conscious, aware mind is moving into the state that you'd normally only access in deep sleep, but you can access that through yogic practice, through yogic meditation. A lot of people today, I think, feel that, oh, I do yoga, I do the asanas, and then I have to do Buddhist meditation. But yogic meditation is a real thing, and that's a part of yogic practice. And yogic meditation often focuses on mantra or visualization to connect yourself to the divine. But if I were to give one advice to people about your meditation practice, that deep meditation, first of all, is a focus on divine presence, allowing yourself to feel that presence all around you. They say the ego, the separate self, is like an umbrella you hold over your head, and then when you take it down, there is a shower of grace that's always falling there on everyone, like a gentle falling rain. And you can access that in your inner being, and especially by opening your heart to it, not just thinking with your mind, oh, this is really good for me, because there's, as we know, tons of benefits to meditation, but along with tons of benefits to having a yoga asana practice. That connection to the divine requires a different psychology than you use in most of life. Most of life is about, the human condition really is about avoiding suffering and grasping onto pleasure, or that which you feel is good for you, right? Is going to help you. So you push one away and you grab towards the other. And this these are the kleshas, the part of the kleshas, the human condition, and that Patanjali talks about in the Yoga Sutras. But when you really get into meditation, it's not about grabbing for that divine experience, because it's larger than you. It's something, it's the unitary whole of all existence. And if you try to grab it, it will run through your fingers. Your little self cannot contain it. But what can happen in the real process of meditation is to let go. Your real self can't contain the infinite, but your real self can, your individual self can let go, surrender into the infinite. And so that's the real process of meditation. It's a letting go, a surrender, whether you use a mantra, whether you use a Buddhist body scanning, whether you use a visualization of a deity or a guru, whatever technique you use, it's a surrender, it's a letting go into the light, into the infinite love. And that letting go allows that sense of belief in your separateness, belief in your any beliefs you have about yourself to sort of unfold and to dissolve. And in that dissolution of your personal identity, even if it's just, and often it is, it's just for a moment, just for a split second, you feel in between the in-breath and the out-breath, between the out-breath and the in-breath, there's this place where everything is one and you touch it. And then occasionally you go deep into it and you feel that in your meditation. And that's an inspiration to meditation because it's such a powerful experience of awe and wonder and divine connection. So that's what yoga is really about. And all the practices, including the asanas, are to allow you to get to that state. That same state, like you might be out in nature and you're just in that moment. And in that moment, you just go, ah, it's so beautiful. And your mind expands, right? Or you're with someone you love and you have that moment where you look into their eyes and everything disappears. And it's just unity, right? So meditation, yogic practices cultivate that. All of the yogic practices are designed to cultivate that. They go together for body, mind, spirit upliftment and connectedness.
That was so beautiful. And I think a lot of us probably can relate to that grasping of like, we've maybe gotten there before in a meditation or even in a yoga practice. And anytime that you try to like, oh, I'm going to get to that state again, you never get there that practice because you're grasping and you're like, I'm going to get there.
Yeah, I want to hold it. I want
yes.
to have it.
Yes.
To acquire it.
And right.
That's our mind.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we think.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
No, it never does.
But thy will, not mine, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
And then feel that presence, you know? It's about feeling.
Yeah. Oh, well, I know in your book you talk about transformation, and I feel like this is a good, you know, space to introduce that. What is transformation to you in your maybe meditation, yoga practice, and what does it actually entail?
Well, transformation is a powerful thing. And spiritual transformation comes as you continue to do your meditation and your asanas and your breath work and however your practice goes. If as you continue your practice, it begins to open up your energies in your body and in your mind. And you find that things begin to change and shift. And when your samskaras, which are karma, held in the mind, then begins to soften. And the meditative practice begins to move you into connectedness. A lot of times it opens up a process of transformation. And if you really go deep, those high states, those divine states of rapture, the samadhi states, they change you. They change your fundamental sense of self. They open you to a deeper dimension of existence. And as that happens, transformation is different from change, simple change that goes one level to another on the same level of consciousness. But transformation is a sort of changing of frequency, changing of level of consciousness. And it characteristically often requires a deconstruction of what has been in order to reconstruct on another level. And so a lot of times when we do go through transformation, difficult things happen. We have that which has been begins to break down, so that which can be can reconstruct, and there can be an opening in your field of being for a higher frequency of life, of understanding, of existence. And so people, a lot of times, you know, the benefits of the yogic path are many. I mean, they're really tremendous, physical, mental, and spiritual benefits. But it's not a path for the weak-hearted. Because ultimately, when you do really work on yourself this way and you do the practices, it brings you into connection with your deeper self. And in this process of moving your conscious attention and awareness from the sensory external world through the subconscious mind into the collective unconscious, into the wholeness of being, there's this realm in the subconscious where we have all of our karma, all of our reactions to past experience, all of our beliefs, all of our shadows. And it takes real authenticity to be able to work with that. And as that begins to change and shift, sometimes it presents challenges in one way or another. And doubt, fear, different kinds of emotions coming up, and different life experiences. As you begin to change, your life, the life that you want, changes. You know, and that's the transformation process. It's a powerful process, and it's what yoga is about, is transforming the stuck identity in our separateness and in our pain to access, free-flowing access to the unitary wholeness of being, to see divine presence, the infinite in every blade of grass, every plant, every part of this divine, beautiful existence that we have, this life, and what lies in the unitary whole that underlies everything that is embodied in everyone and everything, but is the essence beyond all form and in all form. So that brings a kind of love. A lot of times, great love.
You had mentioned that doubt, and I feel like this is something that can come up, or I've at least had this with many people I work with, is that like I'm working there, I'm transforming, and then that self-doubt comes in, or like trusting the path, or it is hard, like living in today's world and still making that transformation when maybe you go outside and then you feel like you're instantly brought back to like the old self. Or you know, if you go in and surround yourself with friends, and some of those times, you know, friends have to shift, or workplace, all of those, how can people maybe balance that edge of like, I'm walking my spiritual path and I want that transformation, but I still have, you know, the day-to-day life that sometimes knocks me back, you know, back a peg, I guess.
Bringing your meditation, bringing your ideation on the divine out of your meditation into your daily life, so that there is, everything is the infinite Brahma, everything is the one eternal essence, all manifestation, you know, according to yogic teachings, all this creation lies within consciousness. You know, every physical object, this desk is, it's made of molecules, made of atoms, made of subatomic particles, made of waves. And in modern physics, quantum physics, that those waves are made of consciousness. You know, so ultimately consciousness is the base of the universe. And so every physical object is made of the same substance, of beingness. And so when you begin to be attuned to that, then take and in traditional yogic terms, Shiva Shakti Atmakam Brahma, both Shiva consciousness and Shakti, the divine energy that manifests all creation, Mother Nature, are all, both compose the infinite Brahma, the infinite one. And so that becomes the basis of understanding. And so as you bring that understanding out of your meditation and you make efforts, whether it's saying a mantra or whatever the practice is that you have, to stay in a state of remembrance as much as you can. As you go out and you're trying to do your job, and naturally you get wrapped up in sensory experience, and that's okay. That's okay. But taking just a moment to remember, ah, the divine is in every particle of this universe. It's in everything. It's in the difficult experience as well as the great experience. And one thing I want to say is that a lot of things we think our big attachments are to our home or even to our family. That's a big one, especially for us moms. But there's bigger attachments, actually. And a lot of them are to your sense of inadequacy, your feelings of smallness, your doubt in your own self. A lot of these things are actually, when you really get into your psyche and really into delving deep, you find that these are big attachments, and then to realize the infinite, to get really connected, to realize your yoga, your unity and wholeness, requires letting go of all of those self-images, all the compensatory, oh, I'm great because I'm such and such. That's a compensation for the sense of smallness that comes from the division of being a little person in a vast universe, and feeling that you're this vulnerable little person in a big universe. It's challenging, you know, and it's painful. And so yoga is a way to come to a deeper, more real understanding and find your connectedness.
And coming back to the letting go again, you know, the non-attachment. And that's, I mean, I think a great teaching that I'm coming away with, you know, from our talk today, of just like, just let it go, non-attachment. And that's something that you have to practice day in, day out, because there's always new attachments. And like today, just because my little one doesn't, he's a year, but he still doesn't sleep through the night. And I'm like, nope, I know I'm attached to having a cup of coffee in the morning and my coffee pot broke. And I'm like, that's not something I'm going to work on quite yet. But I loved that I'm like, I'm aware I am attached to coffee right now. It will be something I work on, but just when my little guy sleeps through the night. And so that's just, I'm like, just bringing awareness there. And I know, okay, what else can I release today? What else do I need to, you know, tap into?
Part of that is going, it's okay to love my coffee in the morning. Mm. That all of this is the form of the one. All of this is the beauty of divine existence. And when you really move into that, you know, your love for, it's not to, the path I follow is a tantric yogic path and classical North Indian tantra. And in Tantra, they say you can be a bogey, one who enjoys life, and a yogi. And it's because it's a the real transformation doesn't lie in rejecting anything, but in love, in not loving your family, but in loving so deeply that you see divine being in your children, that you see divine being in all that is, that you realize that this world that you live in is the form of the infinite one, and that you are surrounded by the grace of divine love in all forms. And rather than stick with the attachment to the form, your attachment becomes to the deeper love that is divine presence, that is in every living being and in all forms. And so all the things, this, the joy of life is the joy of being with the infinite.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, looking, kind of coming back to your books, both books now, is there anyone in mind when you wrote these that, you know, you're thinking yoga students, yoga teachers, seekers, you know, who would kind of be best for either one of your books?
They're really for anyone. The Yama and Niyama book is for anyone, even people. I think it's even appropriate for people who don't practice yoga, because it talks about how to be in the world, and using the ancient principles of yoga to refine life, refine ourselves psychologically, to live in balance and in harmony with the universe. I think it's a really important book for anybody who does practice yoga, because it's really about these essential practices of yoga, the yamas and niyamas. The Into the Heart of the Infinite is my personal spiritual journey, but I feel that it is also for anyone who is inclined to their own journey, their own journey of spirit, and wants to read about the mysticism of yoga and how that can play out in your life, in the life of someone else, in my own experience. It's to bring that alive in other people. And I've had a lot of comments by people that who have read my Into the Heart of the Infinite, that they have felt it's taken them with me on the journey of spirit, and that they have felt that consciousness transformation as they read the book, so that it's been a help to them on their own journey.
And where can we get those books? Are they anywhere books are sold, or on your website?
Yeah, they're on my website, but they're on Amazon.
Perfect.
And they're also, you can order them through a bookstore. They may not be on the shelf, but you can order them. Yeah, depending on which way you like to go.
And then where can people connect with you? Website, and I don't know if you do any social media.
Yes, I do. I do social media, but my website is probably where to go, and it's yogama.org. Yogama.org is my website.
Perfect.
And I've started a new satsang. I do a number of these meditations a week, and I've started a new one twice a month on Saturdays. So if anybody's interested, you can register for that on my website also and come. They're free.
I love that. How do you balance being out as a, you know, someone who has a business of like being on social media, and then also again staying within yourself? Because I feel like it's so easy to get sucked into.
So easy.
Yeah. Scroll.
You have doing all of that that you do, and having young children at home, and that's intense.
Yeah.
I don't have young children at home. I try to keep that balance and not get too far into one. And I have help. That's kind
you
of
do it.
for
Oh
me.
yeah, agreed. Well, I just have one final question. I always like to end with a weekly challenge. And then when I have a guest on, I have you throw out a challenge to everyone. So what would you like that to be this week?
See if you can challenge yourself to take a little time each day to just open up your feelings and open up your heart in a silence and quiet to feel love, to feel the love of your heart, and to open to the love of the universe all around you, and to just feel that presence of divine being, divine love all around you and within you. And just take a few minutes to do that each day.
That sounds wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of your wisdom. I know I learned lots, and I cannot wait for people to tune into this episode. So thank you.
Thank you. It's been wonderful to be here with you.
And everyone, go out there and spread your peaceful power.